This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you on Angels Radio LA, Fox Sports Las Vegas, ESPN Richmond, The Game Orlando, ESPN Charlotte, ESPN South Jersey, Real Sports Atlanta, 107.5 Live. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Our guest this week is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, not just currently playing, but he's one of the best of all time, Russell Wilson. Stay tuned for that conversation. Russell has a lot going on and off the field. He was just injured for the first time in his career. Incredible that it took him 10 seasons before he finally missed a game, but he came back faster than anticipated. He's the executive producer for a new movie that's coming out December 10 called National Champions. We're going to watch this. I saw the trailer,
and
it's awesome. It's really good. I actually have the movie, so we can watch it before it comes out. How about that?
Excited.
The Perks. So he makes a cameo in it, which is really cool.
All
so
right.
We talk about that and so much more. But what I appreciate the most about Russell is he's never shied away from talking about Jesus, from proclaiming his faith. And in fact, his Twitter bio, it doesn't say 7-time Pro Bowl quarterback. It doesn't say Super Bowl champion. It doesn't say anything other than, and this is the exact words, "I want to love like Jesus." So we talked for a good bit. And at the end, I had to ask him about what it means to him. What does that mean to love like Jesus? And I thought, we can talk about that. That'd be a great topic for us. What does it mean to love like Jesus? That's what we're called to do as Christians, to try to love like Jesus. And for me, I think when I think about what does it mean to love like Jesus, because I try to do this and I fail at it miserably every single day. Miserably fail at it, right? But I think the essence of trying to love like Jesus is to love those who are difficult to love. It's easy to love my family. It's easy to love you, even though we get on each other's nerves quite a bit, like 2 minutes before we started doing this show. But that's besides the point.
Well, we were laughing. So
yeah. But it's easy to love your family. It's easy to love your friends.
The people you can't stand.
Let's not sugarcoat it. There are people that you can't tolerate, people who are attacking you or critical of you. And the more you're in a public eye, the more you see that. So things like that, it's finding a way to love love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what Jesus says in Matthew. And to me, that's what loving like Jesus means. And loving like Jesus means to forgive everyone, because we're all forgiven. And how often do we need forgiveness ourselves before we can move on, and yet we're reluctant to forgive others? So there's to love like Jesus really is such a beautiful thing. And I think it's something that we should all always strive for.
Right.
I could never love like Jesus, but I can certainly die trying.
You know, I've heard this one thing. I don't know who said it or where I heard it, but it just it makes so much sense. When you find difficult people, find Jesus in them. Ooh. And love that part. And every time I deal with difficult people or have to just put up with a difficult person, I just tell myself, find the Jesus in them and deal with that part. Because Jesus does that with us, you know. There's a lot of bad in us, and there's a lot of good. And he just looks at the good parts and just love on that. He loves our bad parts too, but he just knows.
He loves us unconditionally.
He knows what we're really, really like on the inside. And when you see a difficult person, at least what I do, and this is just a psychology part, I just tell myself there's just a bunch of layers and layers and layers, bad layers on a good part. Mm. And you have to ask yourself, what happened? What happened to that person to get them to be this bad? Or what happened to that person to get them to be this difficult? You know what I mean? And just look into their eyes and be like, you know what? They must went through so much. They went through something so awful to get them to this level. So just go back to their, like, whatever what's inside them and just love on that, because they, as much as they're difficult, they just need someone to love on them because they've gone through so much to get to that point.
You're speaking of that, you alluded to your psychology background, which you went to Penn State for, and you had to deal with a lot of people in as a social worker who didn't have a lot of people around them. They didn't have a lot of family or didn't have a lot of support. And I guess would be among the difficult to deal with.
Some of them
had
families.
Right.
They were just difficult families.
Or they were ostracized from them. Mm-hmm. So when you were in those circumstances, like how were you able to relate and get closer to and try and help them while maintaining that line of professionalism?
So I wasn't really that professional. I just went with like prayer, which I wasn't supposed to do.
Well, you could say that now. You're not going to get fired. Who cares?
Yeah. So wasn't I'm glad that you did. Professional. Yeah. So another reason why I left is because I couldn't really pray.
I can't believe that you were told you're not allowed to pray with clients.
You're always told don't get personal.
Well, you worked for the state, so let's be clear. You worked for the
state.
Yeah. The county.
Okay. And I was told not to pray with anybody, not to get personal, not to get friendly, not to get too close. And I understand because you get too attached to their story. And it weighs you down and it makes you feel miserable the whole time. Mm-hmm. Because it is a lot to handle. So, but I always have taken the route of prayer. And that's why all my clients just love me so much, because they found comfort in prayer. They found comfort in Jesus. But the problem is I couldn't really do much about it. I was just like, I would just tell them at the end of our whatever conversation to not say anything.
If you were reported, you could have lost your job.
Yeah, basically. You're not really allowed to do that. Like that's
mind blowing.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that never stopped me. I don't care. So I just pray with them, and I saw how much they were feeling better, you know, and they were relating to me, and they were feeling, you know, like
there's hope. Did you invite anyone to church?
No, I did not, but I've always like give them, you know, where to go, like where to find information.
This is what's funny, because like early in our relationship when we were first dating and you were still working as a social worker, which you did up until we got married and then you moved from PA to Jersey and now here we are in Florida. But I remember you had these clients who would always, like, you're not on the clock, we'd be out on a date or whatever, and they're reaching out to you.
Oh my gosh, they had my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Because with this job, you had a cell phone number, like a cell phone. Like they give you an actual cell phone.
Oh, okay.
And you're supposed to only give the clients that cell phone number. But I never did.
Carry two, so you gave them your own.
No, because they can track that phone. They can always read the messages on the phone. So
okay,
I've always given, not all my clients, I had like 50.
Wow.
So I had like maybe like 10 or 20 or 12 that I saw regularly. The rest were just like, you know, they didn't need that much help. But whatever the regular ones were, they had my actual cell phone number. And believe it or not, to this day, like I still get messages from them like, hey, how's it going? How are you? And like,
but that's
making an impact.
That's making an impact on people. That's loving those who, that's loving like Jesus. I mean, that right there is what it's all about. When even in a work environment, even when you are crossing the line by praying for people when you're not supposed to, in that professional capacity as a social worker, you're doing it anyway. And we know how many believers out there who can't freely share their faith like we do here on this show, or like Russell does on social media, in interviews, anytime he's interviewed, whatever he's doing. And I've always appreciated that about guys like him who are genuine about their faith and really want to let everyone know that, hey, God put me on this, gave me these abilities, these skills, these talents, this platform, and I want to glorify him. I want to use it all to glorify him. And I just want to encourage people out there to look for those in your life, you know, love everyone, but look for those in your life that are even more difficult for you to love on. And especially in this holiday season right now, as we approach Thanksgiving and we get ready for Christmas, seek out those who may be down, who may be struggling, who may be having an issue, and try to love on them the way Jesus would, because Jesus reached out to everybody. He didn't turn, he loves, and that's what he's all about. He died for all of us. He died for our sins. He loved on everyone. And to love like Jesus, I think, is just such a beautiful, beautiful, amazing thing.
And I just want to say, like, you got to just reach out. You have to reach out and check on people and say hello. Every now and then, just say hello.
Up next, you'll hear from Russell Wilson. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to ijm.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's Dairy Stores now operates 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh, quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest, coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on-site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. If you're listening to us for the first time, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and you can listen anytime at your convenience on most of the podcast platforms. You'll hear the full interviews on there. Be sure also to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Faith on the Field, and tell a friend or two about the show. I want to take a minute to thank all of our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, International Justice Mission, The Masters University, Heritage's Dairy Stores. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show and help our ministry grow, please reach out to us at team@faithonafieldshow.com. We have various packages that we can cater specifically to fit your needs. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise on but want to help the ministry, we do have a donate button on our page on faithonafieldshow.com. You can also help out by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts and so much more. Check it out. Really cool stuff. You can find it on our site, faithonafieldshow.com, under merch. Our guest this week is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's one of the best in NFL history, even. He's a 7-time Pro Bowl pick in his first 9 seasons. He won a Super Bowl. He's a strong man of faith. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. Here's my conversation with Russ.
Russell, it is great to see that you're back on the field so quickly after an injury that your surgeon said was the most severe he's ever seen to the throwing hand of an NFL quarterback. But I know for you, the guy that you are, like, there was no doubt that you were going to get back faster than anyone expected. But tell me exactly, what did it take to make this happen?
Well, I think it took a lot of prayer, number one. And I think it took a lot of amazing people around me. You know, my performance team is really special. You know, Amy, my PT, she was with me, you know, 19, 20 hours a day just working on this thing. The rest of my team too as well. And just, it's been an amazing journey every day, you know, putting the hard work into it. And so, you know, I think also it takes great language, you know, remaining neutral. I always talk about neutral thinking, Rob. You know, it's one of those things that neutral thinking is such a critical part to not being too high and not being too low. what's the truth? We got a situation here that we need to help handle and heal from, and let's get back. And you know, when they told me that it was going to be about 8 weeks, I said, let's cut the time in half. And that's what we did.
Well, it was strange for me. It was strange for everybody to watch the Seahawks play without you out there on that field. And I know nobody wants to be injured. No player ever wants to be on the sideline. But over the years, Russell, when I've talked to guys, when they've been out, they find that if they take a step back, they can learn something about themselves. They can grow personally. They can grow spiritually. And I heard you speak to the media the other day, and you cited the book of James, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials. How did you personally grow during this time away?
Well, I think the first thing is that number one thing is you figure out, you know, how much you love the game. I knew I was wildly crazy about the game, but I'm ridiculously obsessed with it. And it's been an amazing journey just to know that and to experience that. And that's why I love it so much. And that's why I want to play 20 plus years. I think the other part that you learn about yourself is that, you know, is to be able to have patience. At the same time as you have patience, you have to have drive. And I think that's such a critical part. And I think the third thing is that, you know, unrelenting, you know, confidence. You know, I think that, you know, just having that confidence and you know, you can't, you know, you don't want to mistake that with arrogance or anything. It's just strictly confidence in what you do and how you do it. You know, you've done it before and you'll do it again. And with great faith, all things are possible. And that's really what's been very evident to me in my journey.
Aaron Rodgers is expected to play for the Packers against you guys. As a competitor, I know you don't play defense, so you're not going head to head against him. But how much, Russell, do you enjoy these matchups when it's two elite quarterbacks like you and Aaron?
We always want to have, you know, we want to play great moments and great teams and, you know, great players. And Aaron's definitely one of those guys. So I'm looking forward to the game. It'll be a great matchup.
Russell, tell me about your role as executive producer in the upcoming film, National Champions. I know you also make a cameo. There's a powerful message in there. Star quarterback asks both teams before the national championship game to boycott. He wants the NCAA to recognize student athletes as employees, and this has been a topic that's been debated for years. What would you like to see happen on this front?
Well, you know, I think first of all, the movie's an amazing movie. I'm super excited about National Champions and how it just explores the scenario of the idea of business of college sports and how it generates billions of dollars for these universities and brands and just television networks. And it's all, you know, predicated on, you know, the, you know, underlying thought of, you know, these kids aren't getting paid for it and everything else. And I think the one thing that is fascinating to me in this is, you know, when you think about, you know, Javaris James in this movie, you know, it's just what's really cool about it is how he takes a stand and how he has the boldness to, you know, ignite a player strike 72 hours before the NCAA championship game. I mean, could you imagine that? And it's wild, but you know, he's fighting for something great. He's fighting for fair compensation and just equality among all and just the honorability and respect for the athletes. And so the reality is that these college athletes put so much time and energy. I mean, I think about when I was young, I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and drive to the facility and have, you know, 5 a.m. lifts. And next thing you know, you're doing that from 5 to 7:30. And next thing you know, you're in class at 8 to 3. And then you're back at it, practicing some more later in the afternoon from, you know, basically from 3:30 to 7:30, 8 o'clock, and repeat that all over again every day. It's a real task. It's a real job. It's a real opportunity. And I think that what's really exciting is just watching Javaris, you know, his role in this movie. And I think also too, what really excited me about the project when Rick, the director, hit me up and we started talking about this idea of me also playing myself as the cameo and just really, obviously I actively support, you know, Javaris's, you know, character in this, but I also actively support it in real life too, as well, that I think that college athletes should be compensated for it and finding that. And I think what's been really cool is also to know that there's been an amazing cast. I mean, it's all about the cast. It's just like anything. It's always about the people, you know, we got a great actors, you know, and so I think from, you know, think about Stephen James and his lead role and just what he does in this movie and just J.K. Simmons, you know, as a coach, it's pretty awesome. So Uzo does a great job too, as well. Who helps kind of fix the situation in NCAA. So they were all great for the movie, and I was really excited to be able to play a role in this and have a little cameo in there and have a little fun, a little natural self, you know, have a blast with it. But, you know, Rick was really, honestly, director Rick, he was amazing and just great to work with.
Like I said earlier, it's been debated for so long. How much do you think in a movie like this and your involvement in it and other guys' involvement in it can further that conversation? Because it's going to take – more years, more times, more debate, more discussion before something to where students and student athletes can start getting paid. I know the NIL deals happened and everything else, but that's a whole different set. How much do you think movies like this would be impactful enough to put it in the forefront even more?
Well, I think when people get to see Natural Champions, they get to experience the depth and the truth of this movie. I think it'll be really, really inspiring. And I think in today's society, you know, we're all influenced and impacted by, social growth and everything else. And I think that you see that in this movie. And when you're 18, 19, 20 years old and you're trying to become successful, whatever, you know, you want to become successful in. I think to have dreams, but also to be able to, you know, to be able to have opportunity to pay for some things in your family and your loved ones and be able to go to class and feel confident about it and do all those things. When you have an extreme world-class talent, that's the reality, right? The college athletes have world-class talents. And, in anything else, we all get compensated for that world-class talent usually. And that's what these college athletes have.
Russell, I know you're focused one game at a time. And you got a lot of years ahead of you in the NFL. You said you want to play 20 years, but have you thought about the future, what you'd like to do if more movies and more impactful, powerful experiences and projects can be part of it? Have you thought about that at this point yet?
Well, I definitely want to play for a long time. I'm definitely focused on playing for a lot longer, but I think once I'm done, you know, I'd love to own, you know, a football team, you know, NFL football team, and to be able to, you know, impact, you know, a city, you know, a country, and just bring people to the game of football. And that's something that you know, Rob, about me pretty in depth, that I'm very big into the business side of things. And also too, in terms of, you know, just sports in general, I love winning. I love the process of winning. So hopefully I could bring that to a culture, a team, and everything else, an organization. I think also too, you know, what I really have gotten into is just storytelling. I love people. You know, I love people. And I think that when you think about that, you know, the story, for example, with National Champions, and you think about Javaris' story, so many other kids' stories. And I even think about my sister, who plays at Stanford basketball, such an amazing basketball team, who just won a national championship, no pun intended, with National Champions. But, you know, it's like the reality is that, you know, I think to be able to, you know, make a difference in the world and to continue to be able to do, you know, I think tell those stories. And that's why I think Sierra and I are so focused on, you know, our Why Not You Productions and what we started there. And this is just all part of the beginning of it all, but it's exciting time. And, you know, we've been fortunate to be able to partner up with Amazon and do some amazing things along the way. So I'm excited about just the journey. I'm excited about just, you know, one thing about me, Rob, is I never want to be limited. You know, I really believe in the mindset of being limitless. We started a business called Limitless Minds, my brother and I, Trevor Moy is no longer here anymore, but DJ. It's been an amazing business that's growing so fast. And the key part of it, the title, just explains everything that I believe. Like, let's be limitless. Let's have a limitless mindset. Let's do everything that we possibly can. And let's do it with great, great people. And that's why I'm so excited to do National Champions with such an amazing actors, and Stefan and JK and Uzo, and just obviously the director, Rick, too, as well. Just, it's been a cool journey. And this is just the beginning of it with our Why Not You Productions, and so much more to come.
I love the idea of you owning an NFL team in the future, man. So that's great stuff. One last thing for you, and I got to tell you this. I love what it says on your Twitter bio, Russell, because I feel exactly the same way. And you write, it says, I want to love like Jesus. What does that look like for you, to love like Jesus?
Well, I think that, you know, it's so important in this world, that I think in our faith, the Christian faith, is that, you know, we're called to love. We're called to love and forgive. Those are two requirements, you know. And I think that, to me, I think that, you know, God's gifted me with the opportunity to do what I get to do. I'm one of 32 men in the world that get to do what I get to do. And there's 8 billion people in the world. And what an amazing, amazing gift. And much is given, much is required. And so I think that what's so important is that along this journey of life is that, you know, we exude love every day. We exude love through our friendships, our relationships, the people that root against us and everything else too as well. We exude love in all different socioeconomic statuses and communities and races and everything else. And that, that's how Jesus came to this earth, and how he loved us, and cared for us, and sacrificed for us. So I think it's important for me to be able to do that too, and try to demonstrate that in some form or fashion every day. And so if I can be a little bit more like him, we can all do that. We can all love the way he loved. How much better would the world be? So, yeah.
Amen to that, man. I feel exactly the same way. Hey, Russell, listen, I appreciate the man you are, the football player you are. Looking forward to seeing national champions. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know it's busy for you, and looking forward to seeing you on the field.
Man, Rob, thank you so much, man. It's been an honor to be able to hop on here with you, and then also too, to the executive producer for this with National Champions. It's going to be a great move. I can't wait for everybody to see it. So I'll see you soon, and as always, go Hawks.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Russell Wilson. Thank you to Doug Horton, Pastor Scott, Josh, and everyone on our Faith on a Field Show team. And thank you for listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by International Justice Mission and the Masters University. With Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
Today, over 40 million people are being forced into trafficking and slavery. One in four are children. We cannot allow them to suffer in silence. We need you. We need everybody. Go to IJM.org/take action. Get information. Understand how you can be involved. Because of the work that you are committing to do, they will be free.
For nearly 100 years, the Masters University has held an uncompromising commitment to Christ and Scripture, equipping thousands of young people to have an impact for the Lord across the world. The school offers more than 150 accredited programs, all taught from a biblical worldview, as well as financial aid options and 17 intercollegiate athletic teams. Visit the Masters University in Santa Clarita, California, or at masters.edu. That's masters.edu.
We have operations all over the world, rescuing people from slavery. Because today there are criminals who abuse children, sell girls.
How old is she?
12.
How much?
30.
Yeah, I'm happy.
And force families into slavery. Criminals prey on the easiest target, the world's poor, because they expect no one to defend them.
Pareho po tayong mga tao. Hindi po tayo ibagay or hayo na pwedeng gamitin lang sa pansarili.
But today, there are thousands of people gathering to seek justice for those in slavery. We are a group of lawyers, counselors, activists, and supporters. We are called International Justice Mission. And together, we form the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. But slavery won't come to an end until criminals know they can't get away with it. So we partner with local police to arrest and prosecute criminals. This sends a message to slave owners. We will not go away. We stay with the survivors until they are healed, until they are free. Each year, we rescue thousands of slaves and protect millions around the world. We are transforming how justice systems protect their citizens. To those who are still enslaved, we promise to find you. We will get you home to your families so you can have the freedom you deserve.